Hello and welcome to a Sunday edition of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, where in 52 weeks we'll read the entire Bible. This is episode number 29, and I'm your host, Steve Webb. Thank you for joining me today. If this is your first time, I'm happy to meet you. If you've been here before, I'm sure glad that you're part of the family. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Since it is Sunday, we're in the epistles, specifically Romans 9 and 10. If you'd like to know which Bible translation I'm using today, go to bible.lifespringmedia.com and look for episode number 29. This is a listener-supported show. Please go to lifespringmedia.com/support and take a look to see if you could help LifeSpring Media pay the bills. Let's begin. Romans chapter 9. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience is testifying to me with the Holy Spirit that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could almost wish to be cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my own flesh and blood. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. The ancestors are theirs, and from them, by physical descent, came the Messiah, who is God over all, praised forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. On the contrary, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. That is, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but the children of the promise are considered to be the offspring. For this is the statement of the promise: at this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only that, but also Rebekah received a promise when she became pregnant by one man, our ancestor Isaac. For though her sons had not been born yet, or done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to election might stand, not from works but from the one who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger." As it is written, "I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau." What should we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. For he tells Moses, "I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So then it does not depend on human will or effort, but on God who shows mercy. For the Scripture tells Pharaoh, "I raised you up for this reason, so that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So then, he shows mercy to those he wants to, and he hardens those he wants to harden. You will say to me, therefore, "Why then does he still find fault? Who can resist his will?" But who are you, a mere man, to talk back to God? Will what is formed say to the one who formed it, "Why did you make me like this?" Or has the potter no right over the clay to make from the same lump one piece of pottery for honor and another for dishonor? And what if God, desiring to display his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience objects of wrath ready for destruction? And what if he did this to make known the riches of his glory on objects of mercy that he prepared beforehand for glory, on us, the ones he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles? As he also says in Hosea, "I will call not my people, my people, and she who is unloved, beloved." And it will be in the place where they were told, "You are not my people," there they will be called sons of the living God. But Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of Israel's sons is like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved, for the Lord will execute his sentence completely and decisively on the earth." And just as Isaiah predicted, "If the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah." What should we say then? Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained righteousness, namely the righteousness that comes from faith. But Israel, pursuing the law for righteousness, has not achieved the righteousness of the law. Why is that? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Look, I am putting a stone in Zion to stumble over, and a rock to trip over. Yet the one who believes on him will not be put to shame." Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation. I can testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Because they disregarded the righteousness from God and attempted to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is from the law. The one who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith speaks like this. Do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will go down into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the Scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, they did. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. And Isaiah says boldly, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have spread out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. I have a couple of comments that came to mind as I read these two chapters today. Number one, beloved, God created all races, right? Black, white, brown, all races. And there are numerous verses in the Bible that confirm that he does not favor one race over the other. Romans 9, 23 and 24 confirms it. Here's what it said again. And what if he did this to make known the riches of his glory on objects of mercy that he prepared beforehand for glory? On us, the ones he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. So God does not favor one race over the other. He calls people from all races. Number two, most of us know really good people who believe that their character, their ethics, their acknowledgement of God, any God, will earn them a spot in heaven. Romans 9, 30 through 32 tells us that they're wrong. Paul said in these verses, but Israel, pursuing the law for righteousness, has not achieved the righteousness of the law. Why is that? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone, of course, was the law. If one could follow the law and not break any part of it, that would work, I suppose, but no one could do that. So we have to rely on God's mercy through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And Paul says it again in another way in Romans 10, 2 and 3. It says, I can testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because they disregarded the righteousness from God and attempted to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. So, beloved, no one can be righteous in God's eyes without having faith in Jesus. Write me an email and let me know your thoughts, steve@lifespringmedia.com. Have a great week, beloved. I look forward to sharing some more of God's Word with you. Tomorrow we'll read from Genesis 16 through 19. We'll hear about Hagar and Ishmael, why God changed Abram's name, and why Sarah laughed. And remember that invitation to lifespringmedia.com/support to see how you can help support the content I produce. Every show has as its central goal to proclaim the name of God and draw people to Him. Will you help me do that? Pray about it. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.